I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The simple life has died. That beautiful yet simple life where a local community chooses to sustain itself by making and supplying goods and services is dead in the water in our global village. We talk of sustainability as a possibility without any real determination or understanding of what it really means and requires of us. The great ordeal of our lives is everyone's lackluster pursuit of sustainable communities. John, the writer of the apocalyptic book of Revelation, speaks of the saints in heaven who made it through the great ordeal. He saw the situation of his day as one in which the direction of commerce and trade, how it was going and how it would be going in the direction of to the detriment of local communities. John saw what God in heaven has been witnessing for ages. People doing their best at all costs to sustain a quality of life that simply yet profoundly makes the local community alive and healthy for everyone. These people, they're the saints of God. Saints of God who model their lives after Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who have listened to his voice and have understood what it means to be in the flock, but also to shepherd people. Nations with their major cities and ports continue to crucify the heavenly vision for life on earth. The leaders of the nations all are operating with different political views of governance, and they do so standing in competition with one another. But they have a similar MO, a modus operandi, and that is economic growth. The increase of profitable commerce and trade. This was no different in Joppa in the first century. Joppa, now called Jaffa, was a port of commerce and trade at the time of the story in Acts. It was the one major port between Acco and Egypt. It was a vital center for Greek and Phoenician trade in goods and culture, a melting pot of languages and customs and ideas. Tabitha lived and worked in this commercial hub, but not for it. Her life and the community she lived for and with were sustaining themselves apart from all of that. They had to, for no one was noticing the destitute widows except Tabitha. All eyes were on the horizon where the heavily loaded ships would set sail in exchange for purses full of coins. Tabitha was a believer in a different vision. Her eyes were on a different horizon. At some point in her life, she was introduced to Jesus and heard of his teachings, perhaps really taking to heart, that he meant what he said when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Tabitha understood that belief in Jesus and his vision made her a disciple, someone who chooses to make this vision real no matter the cost, someone who daily considers how they can practically follow in Christ's footsteps, someone who is willing to be a lamb in his flock, even to die to be in and sustain this community of lamb-like believers. In Joppa, Tabitha worked sacrificially to make clothing for the widows in town. She dressed those whose lives have all been tragically affected by death, the death of their husbands. Life became full of color for them again, with each beautiful custom-made garment she gladly made and gave away to them. She dies. And when she does, the community is drained of the life she brought to them. When Tabitha dies, so does the pattern of life she sacrificially lived out as a disciple of Jesus Christ. She had been making heaven on earth through her vision for a sustainable local community that operated by a gift economy. Devastated, yet determined to see their way of community live on, the disciples send messengers to Peter to come and to do something. Not only has a good person died, but with her a good way of life. They don't want this to disappear with Tabitha. The disciples have come to learn from her that the basis for being in community is to care for one another and sustain this no matter what the cost. With her death comes the question of whether she and the vision can be resurrected. The believers in Tabitha's community in Joppa were not just wondering what the answer would be. They sought out Peter to get an answer. In our recent federal election, the citizens of Canada were wondering which candidate could best answer a similar question. Can we be resurrected? Can we be saved? Well, Mark Carney was elected. He has been called upon by those who have elected him to revive us, to sustain us, and even save us. But we all know he can't. We all know that a vision based primarily upon economic growth is not the answer. The vision he has cast in the slogan, Build, Baby, Build, is the same old vision of nations in competition for prosperity that pays no mind to sustainable local communities of care and well-being. Build, Baby, Build is likely to perpetuate the great ordeal for those who have caught the heavenly vision, the vision of life on earth revealed to us in Jesus Christ's life and teachings. Artisans and craftsmen and farmers in our day and time are going through a great ordeal. Commercialism doesn't allow them to enter the fray very easily. Even publishing a book is just too much for some people who are writing good, good stuff. Purchasing goods online has replaced acquiring goods made and sold in town, just down the corner or on the main streets of any of our towns and cities. Even at Deep Cove Market, you will find the sweaters and t-shirts are not made in Deep Cove, but in Cambodia. Building more homes, making more clothing, fostering more new businesses, increasing productivity and trade will not, cannot make us into better communities unless all of this arises out of simple, sustainable, caring local communities. Peter was caught up in this vision to the extent that he willingly went with the messengers sent to him by the community of believers in Joppa. He, like Tabitha, has committed his life to living out Jesus' vision of raising up and sustaining communities of care and well-being. Peter, the Peter who said he loved Jesus three times over, is now showing that to be true in this story in the book of Acts. He has willingly chosen to nurture and care for Jesus' flock wherever it takes him and for whoever asks. Peter, that Peter who went fishing again after Jesus died and rose again because he didn't know what other way of life he was meant to go on and live, is humbly but powerfully traveling and doing exactly as Jesus had asked him to do, to love him by caring for his flock. Peter, that Peter who didn't want Jesus to wash his feet, is now rolling up his sleeves to get down on his knees and to pray for a dead woman. And then he's willing to take her by the hand and to do exactly what he has seen Jesus do, which is to raise her up and to say words he's heard Jesus say, Tabitha, get up. Peter, that Peter who proudly denied Jesus three times, is now, in the name of Jesus Christ, humbly but powerfully calling the sick and the dead to life again. Peter has come to believe with all his heart, mind, and strength that Christ is alive. And the vision of God in heaven is one he is to share in revealing by believing that Christ is alive. He has been given a share in the resurrection power to go and to nurture and to care for this community. And he is doing so as a lamb who sacrifices himself, giving up other things in order to make this happen. God in Christ has given Peter this power and grace, and he has accepted it. The result is that Tabitha is raised from the dead. The community in Joppa was saved, and with it the vision for an economy of gift-giving and pastoral care. This is the victory of our God, to raise up communities who sustain the heavenly vision through saintly activity. And what might that be if not activity that is sacrificial, costly, practical, countercultural in its determination to not look to the loaded ships on the horizon, but to the goods people are making and wanting to share right around the corner. Lambs of God's flock can turn the inhumane and careless nature of commerce and trade into small communities that share in the practical and spiritual care of those who live together. This is the pastoral work we are to continue to make real and evident, to reveal Christ as alive and as our shepherd and guide for our life. There are a variety of ways to make this evident and to revive the simple but profound type of community that gives to one another in a caring, sustainable way. One way that our community in North Saanich is doing this is with the Repair Cafe. Anybody been to the Repair Cafe? Know about it? Yeah. It takes place in the Deep Cove Elementary School gym. And it is an event in which people come with things that are broken or need repair. And there's a group of people all over the place which you can take your thing to. Like, I was there to do some repairing for knitting. And a woman comes with her sweater and the pearls have all come off. And she's looking for being able to reuse this, to have it repaired. So, going on about that. But it does relate to the clothing and to the textiles, and to the many ways in which we can sustain our community without throwing things out into the landfill. On the matter of textiles, I just want to illustrate this a little bit further. There's a place in Ghana, it's called Kantamanto, it's in Accra. And it is the place in the world where almost all of our textile waste goes. And they are struggling to deal with it because there's just too much. And what is coming to them, they can no longer repair or reuse because it's coming from fast fashion. It's coming and it's made of poor quality. So their beaches are filled with our textile waste. Their landfills are filled with it. The people who were once able to repair and to retailor, remake, and sell again the things that we didn't want or couldn't use anymore, they're no longer being able to be employed in this biggest marketplace in the world dealing with our textile waste. So I'm illustrating this because we can change the world in a practical way. We can be partakers of God's heavenly vision as people who care for our local communities, but also when we create sustainable community, we have an effect on the rest of the world. We have an effect on other local communities. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field." I live for this vision. I live for this vision in which people who have talents and skills are able to give of them and to be able to create a community in which there's giving and taking, where needs are met and skills are given. Tabitha, Peter, and all the saints of God have lived sacrificially, desiring with all their hearts for the world to see this vision. They worked in small scale, simple yet transformative ways. I wish that our streets were lined with storefronts of local artisans, craftsmen, grocers, and bankers who were pastorally minded, who understood that the only true life-bringing way to live is to sustain this kind of community. In this, I believe God appears and people come back to life. I'll close with this poem. It's by A.S.J. Tessemond, and as it expresses this heavenly vision and this dream, this way of being the flock of God in a local place. One day, people will touch and talk perhaps easily, and loving be as natural as breathing and warm as sunlight. And people will untie themselves as string is unknotted, unfold and yawn and stretch and spread their fingers, unfurl, uncurl like seaweed returned to the sea. And work will be simple and swift, like a seagull flying. And play will be casual and quiet, as a seagull settling. And the clocks will stop, and no one will wonder or care or notice. And people will smile without reason, even in the winter, even in the rain. Christ died and rose again to see us all smile in the light of each other's eyes, skills and talents and gifts. This is the heavenly vision. It isn't all cerebral about what we believe. It is more about what we do and who we are as sacrificial lambs in this world of great commerce and trade. God bless us all with the grace to be what we are called to be. Amen. Amen.